Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. And we're going to have a perfect connection to what we're learning to Parashat Balak. I don't know if there's a better connection when it comes to the subject of Gemalat Hu Tov Velo Ra. We have been learning about the possibility of a person doing much good, Gemalat Hu Tov, great umid, great person, does a lot of good. But yet, we still have to look into Velora. We have to look into another category before we can give a check. There has to be that the same person is also not doing Ra. Very often, the good that we do allows us an excuse to do not such good things. I don't know if there's a personality in the entire Torah that fits the build of a person who's full of good, but yet somehow ends up in the worst possible category of people. When you study Parashat Balak, even a very light reading of the Pesukim shows that this Bil'am, who was called by Balak, the king of Moab, Balak had fears of the Jewish people and what he thought that they were planning to do to him and his country. It's all the illusion that he had. But this is what he thought. And he needed help. And he reached out to what he thought would be the only way to deal with the Jewish people and fight them, and that was Bil'am. Bil'am, when you see him in this parasha, he is a very confusing figure. For example, when they first sent messengers to Bil'am to tell him, the message read as follows: there is a nation that has left Egypt, and he is growing, and he's powerful. So he says, please, ve'ata, and now, Lechana arali et ha'am hazeh, use your powers, your spiritual weapon of curse. I need you to come and curse this nation. We're not going to be able to fight them with conventional warfare. We need your power to curse them. And maybe then I'll have a chance against this powerful nation. When they got to Bil'am, it says they came to Bil'am, we're in Pasuk Het. The Pasuk says in Vayomer Alehem, he says to them, Linu for Laila. Let's sleep here tonight. Vahashivoti etchem davar. I will give you the answer tomorrow. What's the answer? How am I going to get the answer? Kasher yedaber Adonai Eli. Whatever Hashem tells me. Could you imagine? You go to a person and you ask them a question and they answer you I don't have the answer. I need to know Da'at Hashem. I need Da'at Torah here. I will not decide this answer. I need to know whatever Hashem says, that's what I will tell you. That's a beautiful way to answer a request. And in fact, it says, Hashem spoke to him and he told him, who are these peoples? He told them, Balak sent me to help him curse a nation that left Egypt. What do you say I should do? He wants me to curse them. Hashem tells Bil'am, Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayomer Elohim el Bil'am, Lo telech imael. Bil'am, you cannot go with them. And more clear, Lo ta'or et ha'am. You cannot curse this nation. Ki baruchu. He's blessed. Very clear instruction. Bil'am tells them in the morning, I'm sorry. Hashem has refused that I should go with you. They come back again. And they say, you know what? Maybe we didn't give him enough kavod. We didn't give him enough respect. Very often the answer of people is not really their answer, but they're looking for something else. Very often a person says over a problem he's having, and you listen to the problem and you think, it's not a problem, come on. That's really the problem. When you see a person is having a problem that in your mind it's not a problem, it's usually a different problem that he can't tell you. When you hear a story and you say, come on, doesn't make sense. You're fighting because of that? You're upset because of that? That's, come on, doesn't make sense. When it doesn't make sense, it usually makes sense, but you have to know there's something else that the guy can't tell you. He's not gonna tell you that I'm offended by the guy, or that he didn't respect me, or he didn't. They're not telling you those things, usually. So whenever you don't understand why people are upset, there's usually something that you're missing. So they say, you know what? He didn't say yes. Maybe he needs more money. Maybe he needs more respect. They sent a higher level group to go talk to him. They told him, we're going to give you a lot of honor. V'chol asher tomar elai e'aseh. Malak tells him, whatever you want, you write the price. Whatever you want, I will do to you. I will do for you. Gorgeous. I need you. Just go curse them. When Bil'am hears what they have to say a second time, he tells them, look at these words. I wish that one day I'll be able to live to such levels. Listen to these words. This should be like the goal of any person to be able to reach this. He says to them, Im yiten li Balak, if Balak the king will give me melo beto, whatever he can afford, and he's a king, he can afford a lot. If he gives me his full capabilities of keset bezahav, silver and gold, lo uchal la'avor eti Adonai Elohai, I will not be able to transgress the words of the mouth of my Creator. No money in the world will be able to sway me from going against the will of God. La'asot ketana o gedola. To do small or large, I will not. I have a red line. My red line is, I don't go against God. How many people could say that? How many could say, no matter how much money I'm going to make, I will not deviate? Like they say, there's always a price. For some people, it's $5. For some, it's $500. For some others, it's $5 million. Maybe it's 50 million. Maybe it's 5 billion. There's a price. Bil'am says, no price. I will never declare, ever, go against the will of God. So he says to them, okay, sleep here tonight. Let me see what God tells me. Again, God tells him, he said, listen, Bil'am, im likro lecha ba'u anashim, if they're calling for you, Rashi says, means if they're giving you money,
go better.
If you're going to benefit from this, so go. You asked me if you should go before. I told you no. I told you you can't curse these people. But if you're going to make money out of this, go. Kum lachita. But be careful, Bil'am. Whatever I tell you to say and do, that's what you do. You want to make money? Make money. I'm not going to stop you. But make sure you follow my instructions. Bil'am gets up early in the morning and he starts. He's all excited. He's going. Pasuk says Hashem got upset with him. Ki holechu, he's going with them, even though he told them to go. Then an angel came on the road and tried to stop him. It's the whole story with the mule, I'm not going to go through now. With the aton, the whole story with the aton, how he spoke to him.
Yeah.
And then we see in the parasha on and on how Bil'am tries to curse the Jewish people but ends up giving them the nicest, most beautiful blessings. He's a very confusing person. You know, Bil'am, first of all, knew who these people were. He knew they were not some African nation from somewhere in a third world country. He knew exactly who we're talking about. He knew they were the Jewish people that Hashem did. It says, Shame'u, Amim Yirgazun. Everyone heard about Am Yisrael leaving Egypt. It was a miraculous exit. They heard about the 10 plagues. They heard about the splitting of the sea. They heard about Matan Torah. Bil'am looks like he doesn't know much, but he knows very well that these are the children of God. But yet he asks, should I go curse them? God says no. And every time you see Bil'am talking the talk, but somehow the Gemara says he's one of the people that have no helek le'olam haba. This man has no portion in the world to come. And Hachamim tell us, usually bad people, you don't have to talk badly about them. They're bad, okay, they're messed up. But Bil'am, the more you talk evil about it, the better. How a man could speak with such righteousness and become an absolute evil person is very hard to understand. Bil'am is a Navi. He's a prophet. God talks to him. Bil'am is supposed to be a wise person. How is it possible that a man of wisdom, a man of prophecy, a man who talks with such righteousness, how is it possible that he can end up in such a bad place? Where exactly is the problem? I'd like to share something with you that has very, very far implications. Let's go to Parashat Tetzaveh. The Pasuk says, by the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go command the Jewish people, ve'yikhu elecha, let them take shemen zayit zaf, let them take pure olive oil. Katit lama'or, has to be very pure. They can't take any sediments to be included. The most pure olive oil possible. Make sure you take that and you use it for the menorah. Leha'alot ner tamid. That you should have the light of the menorah be on always. Simply, there are two commandments in this pasuk. Commandment one is the oil has to be pure. Commandment two is that the nerot have to be tamid. They have to be on always. But the way the pasuk is written, there seems to be a connection. Really, it should have said like this. If you know Hebrew, you'll appreciate it. It should have said, Ve'ikhu elecha shemen zayit zach, katit lamaor. Commandment one, bring clean, pure olive oil, the purest you could make. And then it should say, Ve ha'ale ner tamid. And make sure you always have the menorah lit. Vav. And in this pasuk it says, bring olive oil that is pure. Le ha'alot ner tamid. Le ha'alot means in order that you should have the menorah on always. Why is it called Le ha'alot? In order. It's a separate commandment. Pure olive oil all the time should be on. Why is it connected? Here is a very powerful nekudah in life. Pay attention. We've been talking about consistency. Yesterday we spoke about Mi Amai. That great people lived long, beautiful lives in the merit of being consistent in the good that they do, always. Even if they were only consistent in 3, 4, 5 things. Mi Amai, I never did this wrong. I never stole. I never spoke negatively of people. I never, the word mi amai is such a powerful word. It doesn't mean I normally don't. It doesn't mean I usually don't. It means I don't. Mi amai. Consistency through and through. Tamid. The word tamid means always. Everybody could be good for some of the time. Everyone could be a hero once in a while. And many people could be good most of the time. But to be tamid, to be consistent, to be an always type of person. We spoke yesterday about the power of a relationship, a marriage that has tamid in it. Most people married are doing so much good for each other. The worst marriages you ever saw, the amount of good that was done between the two is immeasurable. But what makes a great marriage is not the good that's done. It's not enough. It's the tamid. It's the always. It's the things that go out of line. It's the 95% missing the 5. That's what makes a great relationship. The consistency. We all make mistakes. Like we mentioned, you have to own them. I told you once, I personally have a Kabbalah. I hope never to use it. I hope I never use this Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalah. But if I ever get angry with someone, if it's private, I have a Kabbalah. I must go ask them forgiveness, say I'm sorry. Doesn't matter what they said, doesn't matter what they did, doesn't matter whose fault it is. Bottom line, I got angry. Anger is a terrible thing to have. You know what they did, you know what they said, doesn't matter. Kabbalah. You get angry with someone, I go up and say, I want to tell you, I got angry yesterday. Could be you did the wrong thing. It could be you said the wrong thing. It's a different subject. We could talk about it after. But I want to tell you, I was angry. And I want to tell you, I'm sorry. If it was done in public, it has to be a public apology. When that happens, it's a very hard thing to do. I want to tell you. Try it. See, it's a hard thing. But as you get used to it, you start to love it. I mean, hopefully you don't do it on purpose. It's not that good. But you love it. And more importantly, the relationship loves us. Sometimes mistakes can become the glue of a relationship when handled properly. But consistency, tamid, is what makes a great relationship. What makes a great person is a tamid person. He's always that one. He doesn't do good. He is good. How does a person react to himself when he's so good? And one day he just loses it. What happened? How do you react when you're honest? You're an honest person. You think that, people think that. How do you react to yourself when the honesty in you somehow escaped for a couple of minutes? You lied. You stole. You cheated. You're honest God. You're always complimentary. Lifting people. That's who you are. How did it happen that you belittled someone and made them feel like 2 cents? It's not who you are. It's not what you do. And sometimes we do it to our own children. Sometimes we do it to our own spouse. How did you do that? You're the most uplifting guy I know. Every guy you see, you lift them up. And that's who you are. What happened? How do we explain when the 5% shows up in our lives, in many of our relationships, in marriage, with children, with friends, with God? How does it happen? Who am I? Comes this pasuk by the menorah and gives such a powerful nekuda. This pasuk is telling you that if you find yourself not tamid, which means if you're doing great, 95%, which is, by the way, it's awesome, but you find yourself here and there causing damage to yourself and to others, if you're not tamid, it must be that there's something inside of you that's not so pure. Shemen Zayit Zach. When the person is pure, when his oil is pure, the oil is referring to the person's juice, the person's inner working, the person's character, the person's midot. When the person is pure inside, leha'alot ner tamid, the purity of your oil will bring tamid to your relationship. And when there isn't tamid, you gotta go really deep. It's not the action you have to study. It's not the word that was said that you have to look into. There's something deeper. There's something not pure inside. There's a character flaw that you need to repair. When there are character flaws, you can't do tamid. The Torah says, Shemen Zayit Zach, when you use pure oil in the menorah, it will light always. The vessels of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan, are just a mashal for a human being. Each and every one of us is a menorah. Each and every one of us is a light. You gotta be a menorah in your relationship with your spouse. You gotta be a light with your relationship to your children. You gotta be a light with your friends. Leha'alot ner tamig. That's what we've been speaking about. Mi amai, always. How? How do you do always? You do always when it's coming from a pure place. A mistake is just a sign that there's something that needs to be purified in our inner character. Inner character is so powerful. Inner character is where it's at. Let me share with you a very powerful idea. The Gemara says that you cannot compare a person who reviewed what he was learning 100 times to someone who reviewed it 101 times. The extra time, the extra one, says the Gemara, yes, the extra one shows that he really cares. In those days, they would review 100 times. So he did what he had to do. He did it again. Shows he really cares. It's like the guy who learns always in the shiur. And one day, he goes and starts to learn at home. He reviews at home. He doesn't have to. Extra. It shows that you're really into it. Good. But notice. It doesn't say the guy who learned 100 pages as opposed to the guy who learned 101 pages. That's what I would have said. Guy learned 100 pages, 101 pages. Oh, the extra page. He stayed around longer. It says the one who reviewed an extra one time. Is there a difference between learning 100 pages to 101 pages or learning 100 times to 101 times? What's the difference? How come they use that as the barometer of greatness? You see, when you learn pages, it's quantity. You learned an extra page. Very nice. But when you learn an extra time, the same page, that's a measure of quality. What makes a great person is quality. It's not how much you do. It's the quality of what you do. It's not how much you buy things for your wife. It's the quality in which you give it. It's not how many words you say. It's the quality of the words that you say. Quality is what makes great people. Quantity is nice, but that's not the measurement. Gemalat tov velora, meaning there's an inner quality. It's a good that's not just outside. It's a good that's inside. It's pure. Listen to this. Rav Chaim Vital, the student of the Arizal, he says, how does a person do things in life in a qualitative way? Mitzvot and different things that we do in life. How do you do that? Says the Marhu, listen to this. He says that the person's midot, that our inner character, he calls it the chair of our actions, which means our actions are sitting in a chair. He says, what's the chair? The chair is your character. Whatever your chair looks like, that's what your actions are going to come out. The character of a person, the inner working, the invisible part, is what makes the great actions of a person. So when a person sees that they're lacking in their consistency of quality, they must know there's something wrong in their character. And there's no more beautiful example than the Mishnah Perkei Avot. The Mishnah Perkei Avot says, comparison between Avraham Avinu and Bil'am. Says the Mishnah, what's the difference between Avraham and between Bil'am? Now me and you would have said, what's the difference between Avraham? It's like asking, what's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hitler? What's the difference? What's the difference? Anyone can know the difference? The difference? You could ask, what's the difference between Moshe and Aaron? You can ask, what's the difference between Bil'am and Hitler? You can ask the difference between Avraham Avinu and Bil'am Arasha. What's the difference? What a Mishnah. And yet the Mishnah says, if you want to know the difference between Avraham and Bil'am, you should look in three areas. It says that the students of Bil'am have an ayin ra'ah, and a bad eye. They're negative people. They look at somebody, negative. Everyone's got negative and positive. Everyone you ever met. We haven't found yet someone perfect. Question is, what's the sum total when your eye looks at the person? What do you see? See a great guy? Or what do you see when you look at somebody? Where is your eye focus? Whether it's on the person you're married to, your friends, whether it's God, whether it's whatever you see in the world, what do you see? Like the famous mashal, do you see the cup half full or half empty? Where does your eye go? Complainers see half empty cups. Satisfied people see half full cups. That's a life. The eye accompanies you wherever you go. All day long we're judging people, we're judging things. Says the Mishnah, if you have a negative eye, so you're from the students of Bil'am. Ruach Gevoha, an elevated spirit, ego. Ego means it's all about you. You need to be the guy. You need to be in the light. You need to be the loudest. You need to be the most impressive in any room that you're in any group that you're involved in. You can't just work for the shul. You have to be the guy in the shul. You can't just work and be teaching. You got to be the teacher. It's in all areas. It's not just in all areas. Ruach Gevoha. If you see a guy that always needs to stand out, ego, Bilam. And the last one, Nefesh Rehava, which means impossible to satisfy his physical needs. Never enough. Driven by desires. When his desires speak up, he's all in. No self-control. Whatever his desires want today, Nefesh Rehava. And Abraham Avinu had all the opposite. Abraham has the Ayin Tova, sees the good. He's a humble guy, puts others ahead of him. Nefesh Shefela, he's not desire-based, he's satisfied. Notice that the Mishnah is telling you how to find the difference. You know what it means? It means that if me and you would look at Bilam, we would see a great righteous man. Bilam, look at the way he spoke in the parasha, the way he speaks, the way he acts. You would see a righteous person. You can't even know the difference. You feel there's a difference, but you don't know why it's different. You read the parasha of tomorrow, you're going to feel there's something different about this man. On one hand, he talks big, but like he's always in the wrong places. He's a very confusing figure. That's why the Mishnah says, let me help you understand this man. To understand this confusion. How many times have you seen in your life a person behave in the most beautiful way and all of a sudden you hear a story about him and he say, oh, come on, it can't be. He didn't do that. It can't be. I didn't just see that. Cannot be this guy. Can't be. It's confusing. You think only Bilam is confusing? How many times in life we're confusing? You see the most beautiful person do the most beautiful things, and all of a sudden, you hear the guy talk, say something, do something, whether you saw it with your own eyes, you heard about it. How could that be? How can a guy look so righteous in 1 minute and another minute could be so far from that? How can a person be so respectful of people and in another minute be so belittling of others? How is it possible? The guy could be the most awesome husband and say that word. How is it possible? You think only Bilam, when you read about him, is confusing? So many of us have the same issue. And the Mishnah helps us. So let me explain to you why. You're not a bad person. You're not a bad guy. He's not a bad person. But let me tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from somewhere inside of him. His inner character isn't where it's supposed to be. So he may look on the outside all beautiful. He may act beautiful. He may even fool himself. But ultimately, when there is a blemish internally, it's gonna come out. Like it or not, it's gonna come out. When it's not pure, you can't be tamid. You could be doing a lot of good in your life. You could look good most of the time, but tamid, you can't be. You cannot be a tamid person if you're lacking the inner character. That's what the Mishnah is telling you. The difference between Avraham and Bil'am, if you would see them, they would look identical to you. You'd see people of kindness, you'd see people of wisdom, you'd see respect, you'd see righteousness. So the Mishnah has to tell you, why is that weird, that guy? He's a little weird. He's like him, but he's, something's off. Says the Mishnah, let me explain to you where it comes from. The inner midot, says the Marhu, are the chair of the person's actions. By the way, it says, you want to know the difference? Look at the students of Avraham and the students of Bil'am. Why not look at Bil'am and look at Avraham? Why not look at the students? And here's another important nekudah in life. It's not always, there are definitely exceptions. In both sides, there are exceptions. But you have to know that very often you could see from the person's students who their rabbi is. They ask about Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab are the two nations that Hashem forbids us to marry them. Now to marry them. They can convert, they can become Jewish, but you can't marry them. Other nations, they convert, marry them. Sometimes you have to wait to a third generation to marry them. Ammon and Moab, forever, they can never be married to a Jewish lady. Never. What did they do? So Hazal tell us, what did they do? The Jewish people who saved their grandpa's life, Lot. Avraham Avinu saved Lot from captivity. They're alive because of our people, our father. We're walking in the desert. We're passing by your country. You don't offer bread, some water, nothing. Where is your achnasat orhim? Where is your love of kindness? Where is your hakarat atov, your appreciation? That's the way you treat the Jewish people, people you owe your life to. Out. You people cannot be married to a Jewish lady. Done. They ask a big question. Ammon and Moab are the great children of Lot. If you look in the Torah, do you see what Lot does to bring in guests into his home? He's in Sodom, who has laws against guests. And yet he risks his life to bring them into his home. He even went so far as to give up his daughters so that they can be protected. That man, Lot, his children, grandchildren, have a Hagarada top problem. Maybe he has other issues. He has achnasat orhim issues in his children. How could that be? You know what the answer is? The answer is that Lot did kindness, but he just did it as a copy of his rabbi, Abraham. Abraham did it, he did it. But it wasn't part of his inner character. How long did that last? Didn't last. It's not tamid. Not always, not gonna last. What you say to your children could last a little. But who you are is a lifeguard. Tamid. Lot's children didn't have hafnasat orhil because their grandpa didn't have it from within. That's why we ask, when we want to see the difference between Abraham and Bilam, we don't look at them. They could fake you out. Look at their children. Look at their talmidi. Look at their students. Because in the student, you're going to see a better picture. You could fool others, you could fool yourself, but you can't fool your children. You can't fool your students. Somehow your student, your child, has a very clear inner picture of you. It's an unbelievable thing. Of course, there are exceptions. They're the greatest people that have the most challenging children. Okay. But that's what the Mishnah is saying. That the inner person is what makes real quality. Shemen Zayid Zach. Le'alot ner tamid. When I see that I'm inconsistent, when I see there's a ra, even though there's a lot of tov, it means I gotta work on my characteristic. Haimidot, my dear friends. That's not very popular in today's society. That a person work on his inner being. Most people, we live in a generation that's superficial. We live in a label generation. Labels are not only when you go to Fifth Avenue or Madison Avenue. Labels become a part of our daily life. Even religion becomes a label. Everyone's got their own label. They're external. It's who they belong to. Which shul do you pray in? Who's your rabbi? What color shirt you have on? Labels. I'm not saying any of those things are not important, but they're labels. Those describe an external. The Gaon Mevilna says, the Gra says, that the days before Mashiach, this is an unbelievable, this is 300 years ago. Who could have predicted this? He says, the days before Mashiach, it's going to be a society that's superficial. That the label is going to be more important than the quality. 300 years ago, the Gaon writes, if you see a generation where the label is the thing, you know you're coming close to Mashiach. Who could have predicted such a generation like we have? It's all about the label. It's all about the look. Looking good is so much more important than being good. As long as I look good, as long as people think I'm good, as long as I act good, being good. In a generation of the label, who cares about being good? You don't get any airtime for that. You don't get any acknowledgement for that. Nobody notices you for that. When I drive my car, I want to be noticed. No, but the engine in this car is really awesome. Yeah, but nobody sees that. I need the body. I need the lights. Ah, you know, This shirt's very, very comfortable. You know, it's super comfortable. Like when you sweat, it cools you down. It's a crazy thing. But it looks like a regular white shirt. Come on, move on. No, we'll put a little, we'll put a little logo to the top left where everyone could see that you are special. Huh? Forget the air conditioning. It doesn't even matter anymore. It's fine. I don't even care what it does. The label is there. I love it. Love it. That's the generation we're in. It's good to know the generation we're in, so we know what we're struggling with. When you grow up in a generation, if you feed off of it. My dear friends, Leha'alot ner tamid, to be a consistent person in any area of life, is the formula of greatness. A great marriage is tov velora, good without ra. A good relationship is tov velora. A good Jew is tov velora. And when we find inconsistencies, when we find sometimes ra, we know now where to look for the issue. You gotta do inner improvement. How do you do inner improvement? You gotta take out books of Musar. There are books today that are translated into English. They're translated into Spanish. Open them up and learn about yourself. Learn about the arrogance that we are born with. Learn about the anger that destroys us. Learn about who we are. You have to learn Musar. Not just listen to a good speech, but take a book that analyzes one characteristic at a time and study it and try to understand it. Work on it. When you work on your purity inside, the external is going to be tamid. And the reward of tamid is endless. The relationships, the children, the grandchildren, everything comes from a place of purity. That's what differentiates Bil'am and Avraham. Avraham is gemala tu tov velora. You see, a man consistent. Bil'am is gemala tu tov vera. No consistency. Go study, says Perkei Avot, the inner workings that produce the external and the results of life. Shabbat shalom v'rach.